We're sisters, best friends, and authors on a mission to help you stoke your creative fire and live the life of your dreams. We believe that purpose fuels passion and that creativity is your secret weapon for mass construction. There's never been a better time to bless the world with your dream realized. You're listening to The Kate and Abby Show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Kate and Abby Show. Today we are talking about writing consistently for NaNoWriMo. So if you're new around here, if you've never heard of NaNoWriMo before, it stands for National Novel Writing Month, and it is the annual challenge to write a novel in 30 days, or at least 50,000 words of a novel. So the biggest challenge that a lot of writers face with NaNoWriMo is writing consistently every day. That's kind of the whole point of it, is to make a habit of writing, to show up for yourself every day and write something, even if it's just a few hundred words or whatever your personal word count goal is. So the biggest challenge is staying consistent, right? Finding that making a habit out of writing and making it something that is fun and engaging and creatively stimulating for you. That's what really makes you come back to it and want to come back to it over and over again every day. So Kate and I have learned a lot about writing habits over the years, and today in this podcast episode, we are going to be sharing our best tips and techniques and focus hacks for staying focused and writing consistently every single day. And these are tips that you can make your own and see how they fit into your personal writing process, and some focus hacks that may help you to eliminate distractions and stay focused on your work in progress and make progress on it. That's the whole point of this writing challenge. And even if you don't finish a whole novel in 1 month, it's the most important thing is showing up for yourself.
Right, to establish that habit that you can like take with you beyond NaNoWriMo into just your everyday writing life.
Right. Yeah. So important, so valuable. And for a lot of writers just starting out, this challenge really helps to work as a springboard to start a habit that lasts for a long time after the 30 days is over. So we're going to talk about our best tips for consistently writing, and then we're going to share our four focus hacks for better writing days. But before we get into all of this, we first want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, who are you guys. You are the ones who support this podcast. Keep it going. Keep it free of interruptions. And we so value your support. So if you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and help us keep it alive and free of interruptions. And when you join the Patreon at any level, you'll also get access to hang out with me and Kate live. On the last day of each month, we come together for a special live stream hangout and chat with you guys about your writing projects and share some behind the scenes looks at what we're working on. And it's super fun. So if you want to join those live streams, that's available in the Patreon as well. So let's get into today's topic. First thing that comes to mind for building a consistent writing habit is finding that sweet spot in your day where you feel the most creative and you have the most imaginative energy to bring to your book or your writing project, whatever it is you're working on, where you feel like you have the most creative freedom and inspiration. I feel like that's really important.
Yes.
So even if it's not first thing in the morning, maybe it's not possible for you to write first thing in the morning, maybe you have other obligations. But finding at least a couple hours, at least just for this month, and then you can see, you can kind of take it from there and see how you can keep this habit going continually. But establishing a few hours in your day where you feel the most creatively inspired, I feel, is a really important key. And like keeping that consistent, because then if you have a consistent time of day you show up, it's more likely to stick. The habit's more likely to stick, I feel.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, setting yourself up for success in a way, like you would with anything else. Like if it was a certain time that you go to the gym. And so when it gets to that time of day, you're like, oh, this is a time when I do that. It's kind of the same exact thing, except, okay, this is the time I write. And maybe, like Abby was saying, maybe that's not first thing in the morning. Maybe that's after you get out of work, you come home, you do whatever you need to do, and then you dive into your writing project. It could even be on a commute, so you could even use that as like, okay, this commute, obviously not if you're driving, but if you're like taking public transport or someone else is driving you, you can use that time. We've heard from a lot of writers who use their commutes on public transportation to get some writing done. So you can figure out like what is that little pocket of time in your day, even if it's small, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that that's something, there's something to be said for that. I know you write in small pockets of time sometimes. Even if you're busy with other things, you'll take a small amount of time and use that.
Yeah, it's super cool because if you can develop that skill to just like, no matter what's going on around you, no matter what time of day it is, you can kind of zone out of everything else and just like zero in and be creative for a minute, even if it's just a few minutes, even if it's a half hour or like just a short writing sprint. That skill set will serve you so well throughout your whole writing career. Just the ability to sit down and have that creative flow kind of turn on, even if all the other aspects aren't like 100% perfect and flawless, you know, like all the things around you or what's happening or what time of day it is, or, you know, maybe you don't have the perfect environment or the perfect cozy writing setup with your candle going and your tea and everything. But yes, that might be ideal, but can you find any other time of your day, like you were saying, like if you're on the bus, on the train, just like doing something else and you find yourself maybe scrolling through your phone or scrolling through social media or reading something, maybe that's time that could be used writing. So look for those opportunities in your day because you might think you have no time, but you actually do. And once you find that time, commit to a non-negotiable habit of showing up for yourself during that window of time. And the cool thing about NaNoWriMo specifically is that you can tell everyone about it. You can tell the people in your life about it. You can say, okay, this is just for 30 days. I'm making this commitment. Right. I want to, you know, make progress on this book and I'm committing to this. So during this period of time, I'm going to be showing up for myself at say 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. or whatever the case may be, whatever your window of time is, and I'll be in my office or wherever you may be, and commit to that. Make that non-negotiable. If you do calendar blocking, maybe block that into your calendar. Don't layer any other events on top of that. Don't say, oh, well, I can push the writing time aside. I can take that phone call or do that obligation for somebody else. Maybe find a different time of your day that you can do those other things, but let that writing time be non-negotiable as if you committed to it for somebody else. Because a lot of times we make commitments for other people, and we hold to those commitments way more than we hold to the commitments we make to ourselves.
That's a good point.
So even if you have to reframe it in your mind and think of it like you made your best friend this commitment and now you have to do it, like give yourself a sense of like obligation to do it.
And I think also if you find that you have distractions that might nudge into that window of time and eat away at that block of time, maybe if you're able to, which I know not everyone can, but if you're able to like actually physically remove yourself from your normal environment, maybe go to a coffee shop or go to the library and write there for a little bit, it kind of will get you in this different frame of mind where it's like, okay, well, I'm here. I'm away from all the distractions of home. Maybe even turn your cell phone on airplane mode or leave it at home and let that be okay, I'm here, I'm out of my normal environment, I don't have my normal distractions kind of eating away at my time, so I'm going to just sit here and do this task. I'm going to sit down and really apply myself to my writing and give myself this time, dedicate myself and lean in. And then when you return home, it's like it can, your normal schedule resumes, sort of.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's very good advice, because that definitely like eliminates, it automatically like eliminates a lot of distractions that will just come because you're still in the same environment.
Right.
You know, like if you're still at home and you have a lot of distractions that tend to come up during your day, it's going to be harder to get away from those.
Right.
Than if you're actually removing yourself from that environment.
And if you're not able to do that, like if you're a parent and you have kids and you're like, that's just not possible. I wish right. I could do that, Kate and Abby, but I can't. Another thing you could try is just identify what distractions can be sort of put on hold. If it's like social media right. notifications, phone, TV, any, you know, phone calls or emails, maybe eliminate as many distractions as possible so that the only ones coming into your writing space are the absolutely necessary ones.
Yes.
Because a little goes a long way. A little bit of preventative work really does go a long way to help you preserve that time you carved out for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%. And lastly, this one's kind of more of a mindset thing, I guess, is don't be too hard on yourself if you don't write as many words as you were hoping to each day. So word count goals can be a really fun challenge, but they can also be kind of limiting, I feel, especially when you get like, you know, you kind of beat yourself up because you didn't reach the word count you wanted to reach that day. But I like to think of it like all progress is good progress, yes. You know, and even if you wrote only a little bit, that's something that maybe you wouldn't have written yesterday or tomorrow. And maybe something came out of your creative genius today that was brilliant that you wouldn't have thought of on any other day. So you can't look at a day that is, you know, very few words or less words than you were hoping and think, oh, that's a failure because I didn't reach the number of words I wanted to reach, you know?
Every day you show up for yourself is a success.
Yes, it is. And there are no bad writing days. Your writing is either great or it is making you great. That's another thing I like to remind myself of, because even the mistakes that we make and even the things that we have to go back and rewrite and change, those things make us a better writer. In fact, I would say that like revising and rewriting has helped me to become a better writer more than just like it came out good the first time.
Right.
You know, like those layers of
self-correction. Yeah, it's helping you go back and recognize those things. Like we were just talking about this the other night when we were respectively reading each other our work and talking about our process of how, you know, it doesn't have to come out perfect the first time.
Right.
It doesn't have to be this ideal or nothing. It is these, like Abby's saying, these layers of going back. And it's kind of a meditative process, really tuning into what your voice is and refining it and bringing it more clearly and concisely to the surface.
Right. Yeah, so exactly.
You don't have to rush it. You don't have to have it perfect on the first go.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, so all progress is good progress. Mm-hmm. See it as an improvement. And then if there's something that is maybe needs to go back and rewrite, don't see it as like, oh, that was a flaw, that I messed up, it was a big mistake. Like, see it as there's room for improvement here. So it's really all about just shifting your mindset. Okay, so moving on to our focus hacks. For my top four focus hacks for better writing days, Kate and I both use these focus hacks a lot. Kate, definitely a lot for the first one, which is to limit your phone use and your internet access. So phones and internet are obviously a huge distraction to the writer's brain. When you have your phone sitting by you all the time and the impulse to just pick it up for a minute, check to see if somebody replied to your message or check social media, all of that, it is amazing how long it takes your brain to get focused again after getting interrupted. I remember reading a study one time that I think they said it was 23 or 24 minutes that it takes for your brain to like fully refocus on what you were doing before you were interrupted, which I'm like, that's devastating to think about.
Yeah.
Because it means,
well,
like,
when you think about you how many times
time
you get interrupted, yeah.
Focused. Yeah, you do get interrupted a lot throughout your day.
So your brain is just in this constant state of trying to refocus itself.
Yeah, and like you were saying earlier with limiting the distractions that you can eliminate.
Right,
you
know? Right. So it's like...
So your phone is one of those things.
And I think it makes it so much less frustrating if you just embrace the fact that you will not ever be able to stop all interruptions.
Right.
So just embrace that and don't even look at it as interruptions. Look at it as this is just life. This is life happening around me, and be grateful for that in a way, because right. the opposite would be really sad to not have those things around you.
Yeah.
So look at that as, you know, that's fine. That's cool. But there are distractions that we sort of inadvertently just let bump into us, like our phones and a bunch of notifications, and I have to check my email and I have to text this person and now I'm watching cat videos and how did I even get here? It's like those are the distractions right. that we can mitigate. We can recognize, hey, this is chipping away at my time.
Yeah.
And we can exactly. eliminate those.
Exactly. So if you need to, ask a family member to hold on to your phone if you find yourself keep reaching for it. Or put a sticky note on the bag that says keep writing. Just some kind of reminder that can remind you to not do that. Another app that I like to use is for Mac. It's like built into Mac operating system. That's called Downtime. And you can like choose what apps will work when you have that on. So I usually put on Scrivener and Spotify are the only ones that are allowed to work during that time. And the rest of them, when you click on the internet, it'll be like downtime's on. You can't go on the internet. And of course you could go hunt through your settings to change it, but there's your path of least resistance brain doesn't want to do that. So most of the time you'll just go back to writing. So that's another one that is really helpful. Second focus hack that I use all the time is mood playlists and immersive writing sessions. So you guys know that I'm obsessed with making playlists and immersive writing sessions on my channel. And why I love this so much is that it really helps to like immerse you in the vibe and the mood of the book. And I know you use music a lot as like a sort of immersion tool to get yourself in that space and the energy of your book and to eliminate distractions. Again, you know, it's like stepping into your own fictional realm. And so it's nice to make playlists specifically for your book where you can, you know, put on that music and just kind of zone out and you're stepping into that fictional world. Or using my immersive writing sessions that I post on my channel that are different themes, different like genres, different settings. So pairing any kind of ambience with music, I find to be really helpful to stay focused because it's like once you put on those headphones and you're like listening to the ambience and the music, it's like you're in your own world
yeah.
and you don't want to take them off.
Exactly.
You don't want to get distracted because you're like, this is cool. I feel at home here.
Energy is a good word for it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're really doing is tuning your energy, aligning your energy with the energy of your story.
Mm.
Which helps you get into that flow state, yeah. really.
Yes, exactly.
So music can be a powerful tool for that, for sure. And the cool thing about Abby's immersive writing sessions, which you can find in a playlist on her channel if you're unfamiliar with them, is they've kind of already been curated to have a certain mood. So you can kind of just find whichever one suits the mood of your story the closest. So you don't have to go hunt around for things that will tap you into that mindset and that mm-hmm. energy. So I think that's pretty cool because
yeah.
That can help just jumpstart your creativity and get you into that mindset.
Yeah, they're super,
pretty quickly.
Super fun to make too.
Mm.
Always have fun putting those together for you guys. And also they have built-in writing sprints in them. So that's kind of what makes them special, different from like ambience, normal ambience videos, is that they have timers, 25-minute writing sprints with 5-minute breaks in between. And the setting usually changes. But that leads me to focus hack number 3, which is writing sprints. And when I say writing sprints, I'm not just talking about like doing them within NaNoWriMo with other writers. You can do that totally if that's your thing. But maybe you don't like the competitive nature of trying to sprint and write more words than the other person. Some people really love that. Others don't. So find what works best for you because maybe it's just on your own time. I do lots of writing sprints just on my own time because I'm trying to like, you know, make sure I don't look at the computer screen for too long before I take a break for my eyes. So I'll just put on like a 25-minute timer and just sprint by myself. And it can be really cool to just see how much you can do if you stay focused and you don't get distracted. And this is another thing that I think helps to not get distracted, because if you have a ticking clock, it's kind of like, well, I'm on a sprint. I want to see how much I can write and not get distracted. And in, you know, 25 minutes, I can take a break and look at something or whatever. Yeah. Or get up, stretch, get a glass of water, whatever you need to do. But I think that that clock really helps to, like, stay focused, because there's only this amount of time. Just do it for this amount of time, and then you can take a break.
Exactly. Like, it kind of makes these manageable milestones, right. Yeah. Rather than making it a marathon where you, yes, can't see the end far in the distance. It's more intimidating that way.
Exactly.
If, especially if you find yourself getting it all, like, maybe anxious energy, tight feelings in the body, you're just anxious or frustrated with your writing, give yourself plenty of breaks. Get up and get moving. Go outside, breathe some fresh air. Give yourself a break. Like Abby was saying, it's also really healthy for your eyes, which is something we don't think about as writers, that, you know, we haven't even been doing this, sitting in front of a screen for hours on end for that long in the scope of history. Yeah. So it's good to give yourself a break. Let your mind sort of refresh and come back. So try different things. Like, if you don't like the timed writing sprints, try maybe doing it on your own if you don't like the competitive feeling, instead of just trying to, like, no, I have to conform to this, you know, this one type of writing. You can really make it your own.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, I love that analogy of the marathon.
Yeah.
Because that's what it can feel like sometimes. Like, oh, I have this many words to write today. It's like, just sit here and write until it's done. Like, no, make it more enjoyable. Give yourself some space. It's good for your creativity. Also, another thing for writing sprints that I'm going to be doing all throughout the month of November, starting the second Wednesday of November, is I'm going to be doing Write With Me live streams each Wednesday. So if you want to join live for any of those sessions, subscribe to this channel so you don't miss those. But what we do with those live writing sessions is we do 3 or 4 writing sprints in a session, and we all write together. So it's kind of fun because we get to chat with each other while we do it. And finally, focus hack number 4, shift into a creative mindset. So this one is more of a mindset shift thing. And it's especially helpful, I find, if you've been doing something else all day long up to this point. Maybe you're working a job or doing any other activity that's maybe not as creatively stimulating, and now you have to, like, shift into this creative mindset. That shift can kind of be difficult if you are going straight from work to creativity, because when we tap into our creativity, you know, you're stepping into more of a imaginative, playful, artistic side of your brain, and it's hard to make that shift sometimes when you've been, like, so focused on something else for the rest of the day. So a lot of times when I have writing time later in my day and I need to shift to that mindset, I'll try to put something to bridge that gap in my day. So if that maybe is, like, going outside and taking a walk and just clearing my mind, or maybe doing a yoga practice or meditation, all of these things can really help to disconnect you from the to-do list and your schedule and what you've been doing earlier that day, and kind of hit the refresh button.
Yeah,
and, like, shift you into this more open-minded, relaxed, creative mindset. And I know that's something you talk about a lot on your channel with meditation and yoga, and how that's really good for your brain to, you know, expand into more creative thinking.
Right, because it's really about releasing everything else. Like, we're naturally creative beings.
Right.
We are naturally creative. You see that in kids. Kids are super creative. We have to kind of unlearn that as time goes by. We get more uptight, more stressed out. We have more stuff on our to-do list. So it's really more of a practice of letting go of all those other things so that we can kind of relax back into our natural creative states.
Right.
So yoga can be wonderful for doing that. It has so many benefits, not only physically, but also to the emotional and energetic body, to relax the mind, relax the body. Meditation does the same thing. It can really help improve memory and focus, and has so many good benefits for the brain, which you can, you know, easily find research on that. But yeah, I actually have meditations available on my YouTube channel, and I have 2 meditation courses out now. One's free on my YouTube channel. The other two, you can find available on my YouTube channel as well, links to those. And it's all meditations that are specifically for writers, because I found it was something that helped me so much as a writer. So many of the tools I used in my meditation carried over into my writing practice so beautifully that I started talking with Abby about it. I'm like, this is such an amazing resource for writers. It helps you shift out of that busy, busy, go, 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 be productive mindset into a space where you can energetically relax. So all those will be linked below in the video version of this podcast, which is available on Abby's YouTube channel. So if you're interested in any of this stuff we're talking about in terms of meditation, stuff Abby and I have personally tried, you can find those courses below because they're kind of curated specifically for writers.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's so cool. I've never seen that anywhere else, like specifically for writers.
Right.
And I think that's something that writers really could benefit a lot from.
Right, because it's all mental,
yes, you know,
and meditation, it like cleans the slate of the mind.
Right.
So even if you're not a writer, even if you're doing something else that requires a lot of thinking, anything where you're like creating out of your, you know, just this pure mental state, which includes so much art. I mean, pretty much, you know, everything involves that, but especially writing where you're just trying to clear your head so you can really process what you're trying to say in your writing, it makes such a big difference.
Yeah.
So that's why it was like, I felt so passionate about, let's make some meditations that are for writers specifically, because it's perfect. It goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it does, for real. Guys, definitely check out the links Kate was mentioning, because they're beautiful meditations. Kate has such a relaxing voice, and just like, it's like a stress melt.
Oh, all, I'm so glad.
so beautiful, relaxing, and will help you to just make that shift into that creative mindset and let go. Let go of everything else, because that's, like you're saying, that's what it's really about, is like letting go of the extra stuff that we collect through our adult lives. And that's why kids can be so effortlessly creative, is because they're not holding on to all this stuff. So yeah, that's something you can step into. It's available to you. It is accessible. You can step into it at any point, any time of day.
Yeah, such a comforting thought that that's always something you can come back to. You don't have to go find it in something else. You can use tools to help you become more relaxed, but realizing that that's your natural state, is a state of creativity. And like, it's more about stripping away all the stuff we've stacked on top of ourselves to just return to that natural state.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a beautiful reminder to close off with, I think, for going into NaNoWriMo, because that, at the end of the day, like, that should be your guiding compass that pulls you through this challenge and helps you to write consistently every day, is the reminder that you are creative. You are inherently creative, and you just have to come home to that. So we hope that these tips and focus hacks have inspired you. Hopefully you will find a way to implement them in your creative life throughout the next 30 days as you embark on this challenge, or with whatever you're writing currently. Maybe you're not doing NaNo, but you are writing something. We hope that these tips have inspired you and helped you. And if they did, smash the like button on this video if you're watching on YouTube. Comment below and tell us what you've been working on. We would love to hear about it. If you're listening on an audio podcast platform, give us a nice rating. We so appreciate that as well. And of course, again, thank you so much to our amazing patrons who support this show, make it possible. We love you guys so much. We appreciate and value your support, and we thank you for being here as always. And have a wonderful, happy, productive NaNoWriMo. Until next time,
stay stoked
and rock on.